Well, hello, my name is Tim, and I'm so glad to be here today on the Christian Life and Leadership Podcast, and glad that you are here too. Got Chris Long in the studio in quotation marks there, but glad that wherever the microphones are, that's where the studio is, and glad to have Chris, and I'll have you introduce yourself and tell us a little about your ministry and life in just a moment. Well, Chris, glad that you're here in beautiful Troy, Illinois.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim. It's great to be here.
I know that we have communicated a few times, and some of them have gotten lost in translation because Facebook and texting and every other way, I just like get sidetracked half the time. Also know that we met up in Marion, yeah. I think it was last year, February, yep. for an event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to have you, and I just thought we'll just see where the Lord leads in this conversation. Wanted to hear and have you share with people listening what you do in life and kind of just a nutshell of kinds of things that you're involved in, which seems like several different angles.
Yeah, my name is Chris Long, and the Lord has led me onto a path that has shown me that what he has for me as far as a creative aspect is to be a writer. And he's had me writing some songs for him the past few years, and I've recorded a couple albums for him, and now he's got me writing some books for him and some blog posts, and it's just been a fantastic journey with the Lord.
That's cool. Well, we'll definitely talk about some of that. Tell us about your family or your... is this your full-time job or kind of what your life is in that regard?
No. I would love for the Lord to make this my full-time job. It's been on my heart for a long time. But yeah, I have a beautiful family. I have a beautiful, God-fearing wife and two beautiful children. We homeschool our kids, which is just a huge blessing for our family. On a professional level, I own my own business. It's a forestry company, but you know, like I said, you know, the Lord's really drawn me more and more to him. And you know, my heart is to really just to serve him and to serve his children through his love and the Holy Spirit, which I said is through the gift of words.
That is really cool. We also homeschool, and so that is a unique world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as unique as people think, though.
No.
One of the co-ops my daughter's in, the total attendance on Fridays is 600 people.
Oh, really?
Here nice. In Edwardsville. Yeah. You tell some people that and they're shocked. They're like, whoa, more than like two people homeschool.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty neat opportunity to speak into your kids' lives. The book that you've written, which we could talk about a little bit, and the music that you've written, what's kind of the drive behind that?
The drive is to glorify God, solely. You know, when I first started writing music for the Lord, I had written music in my 20s as an unsaved person and had a catalog of about 80 songs, and I would not play any of those songs today. You know, they are all, you know, written from the world, to the world, and for the world. And it was in 2017, I asked the Lord, I was growing pretty solid in my relationship with God and growing in his word and reading it a lot. And I asked guys, like, I'd taken a hiatus about 3 years of really writing and playing guitar at all when I had my second child. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, you know, we're growing pretty close, and you know, I'm a songwriter. I've written some songs. I know how to do it, Lord, and I'd like to write songs for you. And God was silent on the statement. A couple of days later, I asked him again, like, Lord, can I write songs for you? And the Lord pointed out some things in my life, and this is one of those times where you hear the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And God said, Chris, as long as you're doing the things you're doing, you will not realize all that I have for you. And the church I was attending at the time was getting ready to start a 3-week fast. I fasted for 3 weeks from any stimulant, including coffee, tea, chocolate, and various other things that God didn't want me doing at the time, without getting into too much detail. And, you know, as a songwriter, you know, I would expect that during that fast I could write a couple of verses of prose, but nothing came. I mean, nothing. Until the last couple of days of that fast, when it was almost over, I penned my first two songs for God. And that was a direct answer from the Holy Spirit. And it was God honoring obedience, because he asked me to do something for him, and I put my neck out and I did it. And he honored that.
That's cool. How long have you been playing guitar?
Oh, since I was about 20 years old. Yeah, self-taught, so about 28 years. I'm 48 years old now, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Where have you had the opportunity, or where has the Lord opened up the doors for you to do music and ministry of any kind? Like,
yeah, well, in those early years, in 2018, 2019, right before COVID, you know, when I was in my 20s, before that, I'd always played open mics. You know, I've lived all over the United States, and I'd search out open mics and go play those open mics. And then after I got saved, started writing songs for God, it's like, well, I'm going to go play some of these open mics. And I was going into bars and restaurants and playing secular open mics and speaking the word of Jesus through song. And that was really cool and a lot of fun. There was actually a quick story where when I first started doing that, I wasn't really obvious about what I kind of kept it low key. I played the songs. The song spoke Jesus's name, but I didn't really say anything in the microphone other than that until I was in a bar one night and a guy got up before me and he blasphemed Jesus's name. And I got up there that night and I told everybody who I was there to sing for and why I was there to sing for him. I played my songs, and every open mic after that, I did not withhold from speaking Jesus' name, letting everybody know who I was there to play for. But COVID shut that down. I have played one since COVID, but you know, COVID kind of killed that. Since then, I played a couple, but not so many. But recently, 3 years ago, God opened the door at our new church, Victory Dream Center. They have a food pantry twice a week. And the pastor, right after we started going to that church, said, you know, Chris, we've always wanted to have music at the food pantry. Would you be interested in playing? It's like, well, yeah, sure, man, I'll play. The food pantry's outside. So I set up my speaker, my guitar out in the middle of the yard and started playing, you know, my songs. And this went on is at the end of a winter, in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, into another winter. And we've been doing that for 3 years, winter, spring, summer, and fall.
It's outdoors in the winter, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Yeah. For the first time, they actually had it indoors for about 3 weeks, this last cold spell that went through. They had it indoors. But, yeah, been staying out there for 3 years playing these songs. And
do you play the same songs on a rotation, or do you work in some other worship songs, other things like that?
I do play a couple of worship songs, but I don't play a lot of cover songs. I have about 100 songs in my catalog that I've written. So I got plenty of material. And of course, you know, the new ones, you always enjoy the most. So you're playing those a lot. But I do sing some hymns. I do have sections of the Bible I've set to music, like the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 139 and Psalm 23. And I really like to sing those. So I do sing some of those. But yeah, I do try to throw in some covers every once in a while. But there will be weeks that go by that I won't play a cover song. But the fantastic thing, what the Lord showed me about this opportunity at Victory was, you know, I was asking the Lord to give me a place to play, you know, because there just wasn't any opportunities, especially for a songwriter, you know, especially for somebody making original music. And so the Lord opened up the door at Victory, and I was out there for winter, spring, summer, and fall. And, you know, you're playing to a lot of people that are in line to go to a food pantry. They're not really paying attention to the music. And, you know, a couple times I was out there thinking, you know, Lord, I mean, what are we doing here? Nobody's paying attention. What difference is it making? But I stuck with the task. You know, I didn't. Well, it would have been really easy just to kind of like, hey, man, we've been doing this for a year. That was great, guys. Let's take a little break. You know, I stuck with the task, not willingly all the time, but stuck with the task. And today I can see the fruit of that. I remember after I recorded that first album, The Tragedy of Complexity, in 2020, I wasn't really happy with my vocal strength. And I actually prayed to God. I said, Lord, can you just give me a better voice? Just a little bit stronger of a voice, Lord. And he didn't answer that prayer. He didn't say anything about it. Well, by the time I recorded this second album, By His Name, in 2023, my voice quality, the vocal quality, is much better. And looking back on that 3 years standing out there playing every week at the food pantry, I know that the Lord answered that prayer by giving me a task, opening the door for me, and then, you know, by sticking with it for 3 years, the prayer was answered. It was a beautiful revelation, a great testimony.
Yeah, that is. There is about the only way you can get stronger is to crank it out.
Yeah.
So the longer you do it, the more stamina and volume and depth and lung power and all that stuff. So that's really, really cool. Well, and the seeds you plant at a setting like that, there's no way to know the ripple effect of that. But you mentioned the albums, and I know on the podcast people can't see these, but you have two of them. And tell us about those and the years and just a little bit about each of them.
Yeah, The Tragedy of Complexity was recorded in 2020. And it's more of an acoustic album. I'm on guitar and vocals. And I got a drummer and a bass player, and my friend, Pastor Bruce Payne, playing keyboards on a couple of them. But it's acoustic, but the songs on there are really, you know, just like I said, I like to call myself a lyricist more than a musician. I'm a self-taught musician, but, you know, my strength and what I enjoy is reading God's word and writing, you know, God's word. Mm-hmm. And in every song I write, I really want the power of the word to be in there. In those early years, I'd have every song I written, you know, vetted by a pastor or close acquaintances, you know, just to make sure everything was biblically correct. I'd, you know, sometimes there'd be a line I'd write. There's one line, and it's actually on the first album. It's on, the line is, "What you bless cannot be cursed." And that comes from Balaam and his donkey. Hmm. When he was called to, I don't know if I got his name right.
Balaam and the donkey.
Yeah, yeah. He was called to curse the nation of Israel. And he told this king, he's like, "I can't curse what God's blessed." And that's where I got that line from. But that line always bothered me because I know that, you know, God, you know, blesses a lot of things that end up losing that blessing over through disobedience. But, you know, so I struggled over that line for a long time until I asked some pastors about it. And I said, "No, I think you're right. You know, if you're under God's current blessing and you're walking with him, you know, I think you're spot on." You know, so I'm really, really sensitive to make sure my music is biblically correct.
Yeah, and that does open up a lot of conversation because you also have the element of anointing. And
yeah.
And there are places in Scripture where the anointing was lost.
Yeah. Yes.
And stuff like that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that's an interesting thought. So that's that album. And then you have another one. Is it newer?
Yeah. The second album came out last year in 2023 in April. This album, you know, again, it's got solid lyrics on it, but this album is more electric. And what's unique about this album, it was created transcontinental. My brother-in-law, Lucas Diaz, lives in Germany. This guy is a great musician. Hmm. I collaborated with Lucas. I said, "Lucas, can you help me record a song?" Because there's a song, it's actually the last song on the album. It's "Our Cities Burn With Fire." It's about an 8-minute song, but it's about 2020. And it's about the turmoil in 2020. It's a period piece. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to get a recording of it sooner than later. Obviously, 3 years is pretty late for a period piece, but you know, it's about a lot of topics, and there's a lot going on in 2020 with COVID, George Floyd, abortion issues. A lot of that stuff appears in the song. And so he said, "Yeah, he would," and he helped me record it. I sent him a demo, and he wrote the music for the piece, and then I recorded the vocals over the music, sent him the vocals, and he put it together. And then he said, "Well, let's do another one." I was like, "Sweet." so he did another one. We ended up doing 8 songs together like that.
Cool.
And see, the thing, I play harmonica on a couple songs, but other than that, I'm just vocals. All the music's done by Lucas Diaz. And so it's an electric album. It's got hints of contemporary Christian music. It's got hints of rock and roll. It's got an Americana song on it. It's got one that has a little bit of an island sound, Caribbean sound. So it's got a lot of genres on it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful album. And I really enjoy it. The cover, this is actually art drawn by my kids.
Wow.
And Lucas's wife, who's actually my wife's sister, took those designs and made the cover. So it's really, really a family affair.
So these are a couple actual physical CDs here, which is really cool. And they look awesome. So is this something you just self-fund, or do you sort of feel called to do it and
go
pay for it and do it?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've given away way more copies than I've sold.
that's pretty cool.
And that's kind of just what they're for. I need it these days to get my way.
Do you put your music online too?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's on all the streaming platforms. It's on my YouTube channel.
Yeah,
that's Chris Long 1046. They're on Spotify and Pandora and Apple and Bandcamp and Amazon. They're everywhere on streaming.
That's cool. So you also have this book here. What is the nature of the book? It's kind of a devotion.
Yeah. Again, it was in around 2020, the end of 2019. I had some time, and the Lord allowed me to start writing. I'd say, for real. This first book is a nonfiction book. and I'm currently working on my first works of fiction, and they're complete. But the nonfiction book is the only one that's published so far. And this book, when I was young, I don't know if you ever told this when you were young, Tim, but I was told that when I was given my first Bible in church as a grade schooler, you know, they told me, they said, "Chris, this book holds all the answers you'll ever have in life." I said, "All right, thanks." And, you know, I was a young kid, so I didn't really know the Bible. I knew the Ten Commandments, and I knew the Ten Commandments didn't encompass all the problems of life. So I didn't really understand what that meant. You know, we had our verse, you know, memorization, and again, you know, a lot of those verses didn't speak directly to life. And I struggled with that growing up, even into adulthood. I didn't get saved until I was 34 years old. So I was late to salvation, but thankful for God's grace and his mercy. He saved me at 34, and he opened up the Word for me at 37. I did a two-day fast as I was having a hard time reading the Bible. I did a two-day fast, and God opened up the Word to me after that fast. It was amazing. I've been reading it pretty steady ever since. And, you know, what God showed me one morning as I was reading was that, you know, as I'm reading, I read these verses like, man, that's really applicable to a daily problem. Right. And a couple days later, I'm reading again. I was like, well, that's really applicable to a daily problem, a real world scenario that happens today. This is applicable. So it got me to thinking, you know, I got these kids at the time, they're 6 and 8. And I'm thinking, you know, I want to write a book to let my kids know how to apply the Word to their life on a daily basis. So this book is called Guided by Wisdom. And it's called Guided by Wisdom because it's written out of the book of Proverbs. And I went through the book of Proverbs, and I picked out any verse that was topical by nature that could apply to somebody's life. And I kind of whittled those down to, you know, a good sample, a good number of topics. And I started writing about them. And I did write this book with my kids in mind. So I did write this book for the adolescent age. You know, my editor had a really, really hard time with that. We didn't have a hard time with it. She asked me what age group I was writing for. I'm like, I don't know, man. My kids are, well, now they're 8 and 10. They're 9 and 11 now. So I guess, I don't know, 8 to 12. Okay. Then I was thinking, you know, I mean, this could be read by a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. So I changed it to adolescents. Because my thoughts are, Tim, that, you know, my kids are 9 and 11. They're homeschooled. They read the Bible in the morning. They know God. They're both reading this book, you know, with understanding. And I'm not a children's author necessarily. I didn't dumb it down. My editor gave me some advice, and a beta reader, family in Carbondale, gave me some advice, some examples to kind of relate to kids, but I didn't dumb down the Word necessarily. You know, so my thoughts are that, you know, an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, you know, Christian kid who's solid in biblical teaching is going to benefit from this book. At the same time, a 16-year-old, 17-year-old that's not in the church is also going to benefit from this book if they're looking for answers for life and what the Bible can offer.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the tagline of that? Guided by Wisdom? And then
Guided by Wisdom, Finding Wisdom for Life in God's Word. And some of the, just to give you an example of what the book is like, it's divided up into four sections, Wisdom and God's Word. And the first chapter is Wisdom. Right. Mm-hmm. So in Proverbs, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And this talks about the wisdom of God. He says the beginning of all wisdom is fear of the Lord, which is a chapter verse for the next chapter, fear of the Lord. Yeah. And I was like, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I really want to start the book off with these deeper theological chapters. And I actually moved them to the end during the editing process, but I just couldn't do it. I had to put them back at the beginning because of that verse that's in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the wisdom is
the beginning of it.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Yeah. So it's a good place to start. But then the other sections deal with these life issues. The second section is protection through God's Word. And it talks about kind of the more sinful nature that we have. So it talks about pride and greed and jealousy and anger, debt, corruption. And the second section is growing character through God's Word. These kind of talks about these positive character traits we want to develop, like humility and generosity and self-control and sympathy and courage and honesty.
Are they short little chapters?
Yeah. It's a page or two. And the last section is God's Word in everyday life, which is kind of a catch-all for everything else. Mm-hmm. But we got things like the power of words, friendship, equality, forward thinking, getting counsel, leadership, and things like that.
Wow, that's awesome. So what, between all these things that you have going in ministry, mm-hmm. and a lot of other stuff going on in life too, what are the things that bring the most joy and fulfillment?
The most joy and fulfillment I got in my life right now is with my family. And my kids are 9 and 11, beautiful ages, just ages of growth and exploration. Like I said, we homeschool our kids, and I mean, the most, well, you know, it's hard to say the most positive thing, because they're getting this godly upbringing. It's probably the most positive thing, but the most tangible thing in our lives is that the love of this family is still so tight and so close. Mm-hmm. And in a homeschool environment, this family love stays very strong. We have our problems, our, you know, our complaints and our issues like other families do, but you can sense the presence of love and respect in our family through that homeschool. The second thing is, and I think probably the most important thing that anybody can do in life, is to read the Bible every day. And, you know, in the morning I get up, you know, not to brag or boast, but you know, for years, every morning I get up and I read the Word. I pray and I read the Word. And my kids have seen, they've been watching this, you know, for the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So basically their entire lives, they've been seeing their father downstairs reading the Bible in the morning. And, you know, this morning, we're telling the kids to get ready, and I go upstairs to get my 9-year-old son going, and he's still laying in bed with his Bible in his lap. He's 9-year-old boy. It's a Hero's Bible, you know, comic book type Bible. My daughter, who's 11 now, she's been actually reading a children's translation of the Bible for a couple of years now, and that they see their parents doing that, and they're responding to it. But you know, I believe, Tim, that the biggest thing we're missing out on as believers, as a community of believers, is reading the Word every day. You know, because God has, you know, manifested himself in different ways over the last thousands of years. In the Bible, we see him, you know, physically with the Hebrew people come out of Egypt. We see him sending prophets in the Old Testament. We see amazing powers of the Holy Spirit in the first generation church. And everybody's wondering what happened to that. And if you want to know what happened to it, I know that missionaries are talking about this stuff, you know, in other places of the world all the time. But here in the United States, you know, what has God given us to allow us to come closer to him? You know, God says, to whom much has been given, much is expected. And what we have, Tim, is his Word, the Bible. And if we're not reading that Bible every day, we are missing out on a lot that God has mm-hmm. for us.
I love what you say, and you're also a great speaker, too. what are... maybe not some of your dreams. What's a dream with all this? Like, do you envision being more prevalent in more places, or is it just kind of a hobby side of life? Like, you're just going to do this because you feel called and see what happens? Or tell us a little bit about your vision.
Well, I'm smiling, kind of laughing right now. That's a tough area, because I'm a big thinker and a big dreamer. You know, I own a business, and my brother and I have built that business. And you know what? My strength is in the strategic thinking and creation, creating things, right? And I'd love to do that. So in order to be able to write songs and record songs, to be able to write books and to be able to write this blog is literally, you know, God allowing my dreams to come true. He's giving me my heart's desire. So my dreams are to be able to, you know, make a living doing this, supporting my family doing this. You know, but, you know, as we know in creative arts and the arts in general, music, writing, you know, it's a hard road to be successful in. You know, it's mm-hmm. difficult. So you know, I put that in the hands of the Lord. But my future and what I'm going to do is continue to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to do it regardless of financial success or worldly success or social media success, however you want to measure it. You know, my heart is just simply to be faithful for God to provide for me to create the works, publish the works, and put the works out there mm-hmm. and allow him to use it as he sees fit. And, you know, this book, Guided by Wisdom, I've given, you know, 30 copies to our Reality Youth Group in Carbondale and 25 copies of CEF, the Children Evangelistic Fellowship, Southern mm-hmm. Illinois chapter, mm-hmm. and, you know, copies to my friends and whatnot. And it's on Amazon, but you know, the sales aside, the last couple weeks, I've had some kids come up to me at the reality meeting saying, "Hey, Chris, you know, I've been reading your book." One kid has read it all the way through. I had a mom come up to me and say, and another minister involved in over in Marion, come up to me and say, "You know, Chris, I've been looking for something to do with my younger son, and we've been going through your book, chapter by chapter, kind of as our devotional time." And another lady from our church say that she walked into her niece's room one night, and she was laying in her bed reading the book. And you know, this is God giving me encouragement, yeah. Right? Saying, "Look, Chris, you know, whatever it looks like, there are young hearts being touched, getting the word of God, and are being drawn to me through what I've allowed you to do."
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's good enough.
Yeah, that's huge. And it is hard sometimes when you're in the middle of it, trying to balance the idea of, and we could do like a whole nother podcast on this, so I won't say much, but trying to balance the idea of you're self-promoting in a sense,
yes,
but with a background of the fact that you know that somebody can be helped by this, or that's really the ultimate desire, but then you kind of have to be faithful to say, "All right, I'm going to go out on a limb and believe that my name is the Lord's, my talent is the Lord's," and just even sharing that out there to the world is a witness. Mm-hmm. More than like me. And if listeners can't tell by your words, just sitting here hearing you talk about it and watching you, you can definitely tell it's for the glory of God and not me. On the other hand, I think the Lord uses our personalities and our smiles and our, you know, everything to basically be share his word, share his love with others. You mentioned something. Oh, I know I was going to ask you. And that is where people would find this book or the music or anything else. What are the couple websites you have that make it easy?
Yeah. The easiest way is my website. It's where my blog is. I don't blog super consistently, but I do have a blog on there, which mostly talks about just Christian thought and the Bible. But my website is singrightread.com.
Singrightread.com.
Yep, they're all verbs. Sing, write, and read. Singrightread.com.
And it's right like WRIT, not like sing right, like you're doing it wrong. Singrightread.com.
Yeah, it was really hard to come up with a good website. And with my name, Chris Long, it's just really even more difficult to even come up with a good website. But
yeah.
But this is what I do for the Lord. It's how I settle on. I was like, look, I sing, I'm writing, and I write books and blogs, and you can read those things. So it's singrightread.com. And there you'll find my blog. You'll find a music page that has links to both the albums. You'll find a books page that have links to Guided by Wisdom, and God willing, shortly that fiction work will be coming out. I really want to hope for it to come out in 2024. Mm-hmm. If I self-publish.
Well, that's cool. Singrightread.com. You can find out about Chris, and there's probably pictures there of your family and whatnot. People can get to know you a little bit and hear the music and get a copy of this book. And you can buy this book on Amazon.
Yep.
And the link's on there for that as well.
Yeah, on the webpage.
So that's really cool. Is there anything else that just comes to mind that'd be fun to share in our last like 2 minutes?
For speaking to believers, guys, just continue to be bold in your faith. To carry the Holy Spirit in your heart and the love of Jesus in your smiles, like you said. And
that's good. That's a great place to leave it. And so if you listen to this podcast, be sure to check out the website, singrightread.com. Connect with Chris. If you're in the Southern Illinois area, which is where you are primarily at, and Southern Illinois is small yet pretty big region overall.
Yeah.
And you're kind of right in the center of it down there.
Yeah.
So, you can definitely connect, and it's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. It's awesome to be here.
Talk a little bit. All right. Well, until next time, we're praying for you, everybody who's listening, anybody who is a part of this with us. We're thankful for your ministry and your work and your life. And we'll talk with you next time. Looking forward to it. Thanks.